information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
Here to border
it shows.
The law.
The country.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
A war in heaven belongs to you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 213 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's April 8th, 2011, and my name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, return to Ground Zero and the Chernobyl question with Black Rain and Idle Musings in a Radioactive World. Plus, covert training, debt ceiling, and Obamasiah 2012, news purge, papa culture, accusations, and beatification, modified milk, microwave minds, and a concert, Odyssey Dawn. All that and so much more is right here, April 8th, 2011, episode 213 of MediaMonarchy.com. brand new music from the Danish duo known as the Ravenettes. From their record Raven in the Grave, that track is called War in Heaven. And that sets the ominous tone for this 213th episode of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. It's April 8th, 2011, and we are broadcasting live, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and, of course, simulcast worldwide thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and RevereRadio.net. ZeroPointRadio.com has terrestrial signals blasted out to Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM, and we say hello and welcome to everyone out there, wherever you are in the world, however you may be receiving this transmission. And amongst all the other fantastic sites that help syndicate and spread the word about Media Monarchy, we like to shine an extra light to radio23.org for the extra hosting, and tragedyandhope.com for the moral support. And all of that, my friends. And at the top of the second hour, we'll list some of the other fantastic low-power, pirate, internet, community, media outlets that help spread the word about this show. You can find us on FaceSpace, TwitterTube, and so much more. Contact MediaMonarchy@gmail.com, and we are on Skype and Instant Messenger, and of course, pretty much all of those. We're all Media Monarchy. One word. Easy. Please, my friends, take a moment to click the donate button at the top right of the page. And a huge thanks goes out yet again to my man Samuel in Belgium. He is a repeated donor to Media Monarchy. Tithing, if you will. If we'll flesh out our apocryphal biblical theme here on episode 213. Consider tithing monthly to Media Monarchy. And perhaps, yes, we'll even set up at some point some type of subscription service. We also want to thank hugely Ryan in Phoenix. And again, thanks to everybody out there who donates, if not just in fake fiat currency zeros and ones, which help fund this operation, pay the DGA dues, do the fix-its, pay for the domain, Skype credit, all of that. But thanks for donating your time and heart and effort and passion and open arms to all of this news that we go through. Alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups, all that and so much more. As we glance at the current news again on this April 8th morning, 2011, a shutdown over spending or abortion? Two sides disagree. That's the top story on Google News. And the second story is Planned Parenthood. CBS News asking the question, time to defund abortion provider? And we also, of course, have shells firing in Gaza. Other top stories include mass graves and American Idol. Isn't it fascinating to see something like Planned Parenthood now being front page, top of the page news? These are the culture wars. As we say so many times here, you may not believe in Jesus or Muhammad or any type of religion, but there are billions of people who do, and their tacit approval or willing participation in all that we see around the world are bringing us to what we see. They're going to bring a supposed war in heaven to earth. And meanwhile, the interbred families and organizations and multi-generational serial killers and elites They're going to get chaos fomenting so that they can create their new order. Of course, our fake money says, you know, he looks favorably upon our enterprise. So yet again, my friends, we have so very, very, very much to go over. We'll leave the breaking news page open in case news breaks and we have to fix it. Because so many times we're doing the show and, of course, there's news breaking and I'm just trying to get through the news that's already put on the page. Such as last week, my friends, the moment I got home from doing the show live, April Fool's Day, I see a message on Facebook from my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. And for a second I got excited and I was like, oh, that's probably an April Fool's thing. My friends, it is not. Amazing breaking news for you. Clyde Lewis, host of GroundZeroMedia.org, takes up residence weeknights 9 to midnight on News Radio KXL 101.1 FM and 750 AM here in Portland, Oregon, with his talk show about the paranormal, parapolitical, and the occult starting Monday, April 11th. The highly rated program originating in Portland has existed in various formats since April 1st, 1995. And in 1999 was nationally syndicated in several cities around the U.S. Lewis has had a storied career over the years, including voiceover and on-screen roles in both film and TV. A published writer, his essays have appeared in various publications from UFO Magazine to Rolling Stone. He's produced shows online as well for radio and television, and also hosted Ground Zero Lounge, a nightclub show of conspiracy theories about the unknown, often considered misunderstood and not yet explained. I've seen the response to Clyde's show over the years, and I'm really excited to offer it nightly to our KXL listeners, commented Brian Jennings, Alpha Broadcasting's Director of Talk Programming. Clyde is a unique personality with a perspective that quite simply is not heard anywhere else on the air. Ironically, one of his first syndicated stations was KXL, and so he's come full circle. I've had letters from listeners as far away as England, Spain, and Iceland requesting this show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, phone calls and letters to Alpha Broadcasting were in some small way successful. So, amazingly enough, Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org, and hopefully if you are a listener to this show, you've at least checked out some of Clyde's work, if not just heard him on the times he's been in studio here. The fact that he is on one of our reactionary, fake, conservative talking point stations here in Oregon is amazing. It's the station that runs Glenn Beck. And yeah, we'll cover the amazing news about Glenn Beck a little bit later. But they also run our own Lars Larson. If you've heard of that guy, he's syndicated nationally, but he's based right out here in Portland, Oregon. I think he does sort of a local show in the morning and does his national show in the evening. The moment Lars Larson wraps up at 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, the loudspeaker is going to speak up and say, Ground Zero. It's going to be awesome. So huge, huge congrats and praise to Clyde Lewis and GroundZeroMedia.org, and it's going to be interesting to say the very least, just as I've tried to explain to you how interesting it is that Clyde is going to have his show on that source. We also have the latest from NewWorldNextWeek.com, our weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, episode 68, Modified Milk, Debt Ceiling, and Get Osama. Now, the milk and the debt we are going to go over on this episode 213, but you got to go straight to NewWorldNextWeek.com to get the Bin Laden Sets Alarm Bells Ringing story. Get Osama now, or else, they say, about Emmanuel Goldstein. That brings us to the latest amazing media from CorbettReport.com. episode 180, the Chernobyl question. Fukushima is not Chernobyl. The plants have different designs, were affected in different ways, and are behaving differently. Nevertheless, there are still things that we can learn about the Chernobyl disaster that might teach us about our current situation. Episode 180 of CorbettReport.com uncovers some of the secrets of Chernobyl and asks what this can tell us about Fukushima. Of course, the latest Sunday update, Libya, Fukushima, Federal Reserve, as well as James Corbett on Russia Today discussing the Syrian situation, and Paul Craig Roberts being interviewed by James on Libya, Syria, and the road to World War III. Those are all available on youtube.com/Corbett Report. In the latest interviews, Charles McJilton, Helen Caldicott, MD, and Yoshioka Tatsuya, as Libya, Fukushima, the Fed, and more being covered in depth on CorbettReport.com. I believe that for the most part closes out our other alternative media hosts that we're proud enough and lucky enough to be associated with. But before we move into our fourth week of Japanese crisis updates. Speaking of alternative media, I want to mention I was on the IntelHubRadio.com just the other day on Oracle Broadcasting. OracleBroadcasting.com, of course, broadcasts Lee Rogers, Doug Owen, Blacklisted News, Rogue Government, Jack Blood, all kinds of fantastic alternative media shows. Was on there Wednesday talking to Bob and talking to Shep, two of the hosts. And it's going to be a regular thing. First Wednesday of every month, yours truly is going to be a guest on the IntelHub.com. So look for that episode. And again, if you subscribe to their podcast feed, you already got that show Wednesday evening. I am working on creating video of my appearance. And again, I'm a radio guy, certainly not a video guy, but rest assured, I'm going to make myself get there, and I'm teaching myself and making it all work. So look very soon to youtube.com/MediaMonarchy for video portions of my appearances on the IntelHub.com. Again, looking for all kinds of ways to spread out this kind of information. So let's turn to Japan crisis updates. Black rain in the Atomic Cafe. And again, this is Media Monarchy. Those are the names of two well-known nuclear apocalyptic themed films, Black Rain and The Atomic Cafe. You may recall last week's Japanese crisis updates were subtitled From Here to Eternity, based on the film. And we'll update you at the very end of this episode again how the things we mention become part of the memescape. Japan catches radioactive fish outside the quarantine zone. This from BusinessInsider.com, and it's only so fitting that we included the photo of Blinky, the three-eyed fish from The Simpsons. And I hope no one thinks that I take these things glibly or lightly. As I say time and time again, sometimes we have to laugh to not cry or run down the street pulling our hair out screaming that they're here already. Fukushima radioactive seawater model, and more on the spent fuel rods exploding into the atmosphere, being covered quite well by the IntelHub.com. New York Times contributor confirms California rainwater 181 times above the drinking water standards for radioactive iodine 131. Now, I'm not sure if that takes into account the levels they're going to raise them to by the EPA that we covered last week for you on this show and on New World next week. TEPCO disposing low-level radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. At the time of this posting, at least from Washington's blog, 11,500 tons of radioactive water into the Pacific. As Natural News now calls it, like they see it, Fukushima is now the radioactive deep water horizon of the Pacific, as we are in the age of biowars. The U.S. and the EU agree that we should raise radiation levels for food. There it is again. More on that from activistpost.com. And we've noted that all our amazing technological advances that can get us to the moon and give us power and do all of these amazing things, somehow when they break and break down, I don't know what to do. I tried kicking it and spitting and swearing at it. Japan using diaper-like absorbent and superglue-like resin to contain the radiation. ABC out of Australia noting that the crews are facing a 100-year battle at Fukushima. Meanwhile, from the New York Times, by way of the much better Cryptogon.com, U.S. sees array of new threats at Japan's nuclear plant, but it might be a whole hell of a lot worse than that. Obama scrapped a program that would have provided early warning for earthquakes. And as if all of that wasn't enough, yesterday, a 7.1 earthquake hit the northeastern coast of Japan. Tsunami warnings went out but were lifted pretty quickly soon thereafter. Fukushima, of course, evacuated yet again. More on that from the Christian Science Monitor. And it's not just there. It's here. Early on, when we were covering this crisis now 3-4 weeks ago, we asked the question, could an earthquake cause a nuclear crisis here in the Pacific Northwest? And we noted, well, one, yes, but two, we don't need an earthquake to cause a nuclear crisis because the Umatilla Chemical Weapons Depot is already leaking. So, DigitalJournal.com reporting on a valve malfunction at an Alabama nuclear plant triggers probe. And another great piece from TheIntelHub.com. I'm not exactly sure who made this call, but someone from right here in the People's Republic of Portland called up the EPA to ask about the radiation in the drinking water.
You know, I'm actually wondering about the radiation levels in the rainwater right now. Do you know what they're at?
We don't track those. The state of Oregon does. Now, and there's a couple of agencies. There's a federal agency that tracks them. We aren't having any readings at all from our lab or any of the people that we're working with. But I would have you check with the Environmental Protection Agency. And the state of Oregon has a very active program going monitoring the radiation.
Yeah, hi, I have a question regarding the water quality.
Well, that's a big issue. Water quality where?
Okay.
And what about the water quality?
Okay, well, I'm just in Portland, Oregon, so I just kind of wanted, I wanted to know if the water is safe to drink or...
Oh, drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Municipal water.
Yeah, from Multnomah County.
Oh, well, you look in your phone book for your water provider and ask them.
Well, I already did. They told me to call you because they don't have a way to measure the radiation in the water. And I just see this article here, radiation found in San Francisco. I don't think it's a laughing matter when they talk about 18,000 times above federal drinking water standards. I just think that it's kind of spooky. When are the cats and dogs going to start dying, you know?
And we'll, I guess, have to wait and see on that. So the ongoing cover-up of the nuclear crisis by governments and nuclear power companies, ongoing, continuing. Japan's ocean radiation hits 7.5 million times the legal limit. That isn't some crazy conspiracy. It's not InfoWars or Rents. That's McClatchy. And the Intel Hub and NBC, which of course is quite fitting because that can stand for the National Broadcasting Corporation, but it can also stand for nuclear, biological, and chemical. On the massive radiation in the water, in the food, in the air, we're soaking in it, found in Washington and Idaho tap water, all that and so much more in this piece that breaks down the situation that we're in and the Japan crisis updates, Black Rain and the Atomic Cafe.
Well, we turn now to our continuing coverage of the disaster overseas, where Japan's ocean radiation has hit 7.5 million times the legal limit. This is prompting Japan's government to issue its first ever radiation safety standards for fish. Meanwhile, TEPCO continues to release what it calls low-level contaminated water into the sea to make room for more highly contaminated water at the crippled nuclear plant. NBC's Charles Hadlock joins us now live from Tokyo with the latest on this. So, Charles, what is the newest update from the plant itself?
Well, radioactivity is still occurring at the plant. Radioactive water continues to flow out of the plant, and today they measured some of the radioactive water, and it came back several million times above the legal limit. Now, experts say that the radiated water will dissipate very quickly, but it still causes a concern for the fishing industry here. And today the government of Japan issued new standards for the level of radiation in fish, and already at least one fish caught offshore exceeded that limit, so it is raising fish. Fears that it could damage the fishing industry in Japan. Today at the plant, they're still trying to seal the leaks, but they must pour about 50,000 gallons of water through the reactors each day to keep them cool. But because of the earthquake, the tsunami, and the explosions, a lot of the pipes are leaking, so they're just trying to seal that. The priority now, though, is to keep water on the reactors, even if it means, for now, polluting the ocean.
And Charles, how are residents reacting to this new seafood safety guidelines?
Well, it hasn't dampened the appetite for fish in Japan just yet. A lot of the fish houses were still open for business today. A lot of the restaurants still serving the famous sushi dishes. But a lot of people are concerned about it. One business owner said his restaurant is off 50% so far this week. But it is too early to tell. A lot of folks still depend on the fishing industry here. But Japan imports more fish than it exports. But still, it's a $2.3 billion business for Japan. And it's already being hit by the bad news. India now says it will ban all seafood from Japan for the next 3 months.
NBC's Charles Hadlock in Tokyo for us. Charles, thank you very much. Along with the new safety standards for fish, the Japanese government has banned shipments of about 60 locally grown farm products in the Fukushima region. Now, that includes spinach, broccoli, and raw milk after high levels of radioactivity were found. Now, back here at home, the EPA is now confirming trace amounts of radioactivity in some drinking water discovered in Richland, Washington, as well as Boise, Idaho. But officials say the levels are too small to be harmful. Joining me now is Tom Crimmins, former director of the American Nuclear Society. Tom, we've been talking about this for weeks now, and it was just last week that the EPA recorded radiation from Japan in milk in California and along the West Coast. So today, these low levels of Japan's radiation in drinking water in Idaho, but officials saying that it's nothing to be concerned about. So in your expert opinion, when is it time to be concerned about finding these trace amounts or levels of radiation in America?
Good afternoon, Thomas. Good to see you. There is no, there should not be any concern here in the United States. These levels are very, very low. And in fact, you may recall back when there was atomic bomb testing, there was fallout coming across our country all the time. And those kinds of levels were found in the environment. Mm-hmm. These are very, very low, and we should not be afraid of them at all.
Tom, 3 million gallons of radioactive water being discharged into the Pacific Ocean. And today, Japanese official changed the safety standards, as we heard in our last report, for fish. So is this going to be sending up a big red flag that this leak is very dangerous to sea life, and especially since they don't have it under control, the long-term effects of what it's going to do?
Well, you know, the water that they're discharging is above the limits by about a factor of 100, but it's not the very heavy radioactive water that that the plant is finding in many, many different spaces, and which may very well be the one that's leaking. The idea is to take that very low radioactive water, relatively low, and discharge it to the ocean, about 3 million gallons, as you say, in order to make space for continuing to isolate the very heavy radioactive water. And that's important because workers can not get in to restore the cooling system, the closed water, closed cycle cooling system, which is so vital to keeping these plants totally stabilized for the long run.
Tom, when we talk about the farming in the area of the Fukushima region, there's mushrooms, there's broccoli, the leafy greens. They have tested for high levels of radiation, and now today, new warnings about the fish as we're talking about. So for the Fukushima region, how should they be monitoring what's going on and to move forward so that people can trust the exports that are coming out of that region? region when it comes to food?
Well, the exports have been stopped, as you know, but the radiation is very easily measured. We can measure down to levels of one part in a billion. So it's not an issue of not being able to find out what's going on. So if you look at the radiation levels out in the prefectures or different states around Fukushima, it is dropping off considerably. Matter of fact, it's off by a factor of 10 to 15 in most of the cities and towns where they're measuring. So it is decreasing. It will be a problem for a while, but eventually those areas will be cleaned up, and those that food will be restored to the marketplace.
And you talk about eventually that it's going to be cleaned up, but what is the long-term outlook as we continue to monitor the situation there that they don't have under control?
Well, that's a good question. It's going to take probably weeks or months to really get the cooling system going in the plant so that they can stop this tremendous amount of leakage, because right now we're putting water in the plant and we don't have a way to circulate it so that it doesn't get out into the plant. So stopping that, getting a recirculation system where the water is cooled outside of the containment and then put back into the containment to cool reactor is the thing that needs to be done. And they're talking about weeks to months to do that. Mm-hmm. Then it will be months, many months, before a full characterization of the environment is undertaken and decisions can be made about what food is okay to eat.
Tom, you always bring a cool head and a good voice of reason to these serious topics. So good to have you on, as always. Tom Crimmins, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's make a deal. Can Congress come to a budget agreement before Friday?
Well, we'll have to get to that in just a few minutes. So, you know, it just may take a couple weeks and months. Not hundreds and thousands of years. Such as it is in reality. Don't worry about it. Watch American Idol. Watch your stupid sports. Drink your Diet Coke. Keep calm and carry on. Let's get our related BioWars EnviroHealth updates, because radiation is everywhere. Cell phone radiation may alter your brain. That's from the New York Times and from BioPrepWatch.com. Frederick, Maryland holds public forum on Fort Detrick Labs. When are they doing that? I can't find it, but I would like to go and ask them, you know, maybe if you guys didn't create the viruses and bring them back to life and then let them accidentally escape during a drill or when a lone nut carries them home, maybe we wouldn't have so many BioWars and lab events. So each week's Japanese crisis updates ends with the link back to the previous week's updates. EPA helps mainstream media obscure the truth about radiation. That's from last week. And that is the rest of our this week's Japan crisis updates, Black Rain and the Atomic Cafe. But before we leave this topic entirely, we'll hop over to my sister site, cyberspacewar.com, for a quick article, Idle Musings in a Radioactive World. An age of low-level, persistent radiation is dawning. You can discern between millirems and millisieverts with a link. It's a little radiation conversion chart for you. A familiarity with different measurements may mean survival in a brave new radioactive world. How did we arrive at this spot in an apparent netherworld? Are there minds that embrace low-level radiation as an immunotherapy of sorts termed radiation hormesis? A brief intro to radiation hormesis theory is available at Angel Fire. The intro concludes with the notion of radiophobia due to the exaggeration of risks. This is the tenuous argument Ann Coulter attempted in her Radiation is Good for You spiel a couple of weeks ago. There are radium or radon health spas, or you can visit Free Enterprise Radon Health Mine in Boulder, Montana. There are believers in the stimulating effect to the body's repair mechanisms by exposing them to low levels of radiation. Can't help but wonder if former Heartland Security Director Michael Chertoff subjects himself to Rapiscans to prove their safety. The Rapiscan machines have made millions for the Chertoff group as they've been unrolled at our airports all around the country, the training grounds for you to be a good little slave and pay through the nose for the privilege is is this good or is this bad? Are you just being radiophobic? An interesting angle, and I'm glad my man Alan wrote that up and posted it on cyberspacewar.com, because again, that's the dots that we've connected, is that radiation seems to have been the story long before the Japanese crisis. It was with the naked body scanners. As we see, pretty much every crisis in the Obama era is of the bio-wars, enviro-health nature, so to speak. We shift gears now to our geopolitics and war whores headlines. Pick up the gun. We take our title from the film Shane with Jack Palance, which was so wonderfully illustrated by the late, great Bill Hicks, about how the Western finance Anglo-American establishment funds their enemies to fight them later. Jack Palance throws down the gun in front of the sheep handler and says, "Pick up the gun." The moment he goes for it, blast him. You all saw him. He had a gun. Obama supplying heavy weapons to Libyan insurgents.
Our source for this is a rebel fighter who says he's undergone the training himself. We won't name him, and he didn't want to go on camera, but he offered us a description of what he said was a secret facility in eastern Libya, where he said the better Libyan fighters were being offered specialized training by American and Egyptian special forces. He was a man who said that he'd been at the front for 3 weeks. We believe him because, apart from anything else, he offered us descriptions and knew some of our teams who'd been at the front, and they've since told us that they recognized him too. He said when he first went there, he was sent there to fire Katusha rockets, but the weapon he had to begin with was a simple sort of unguided pop one off the shoulder kind of Katusha rocket. He also said that on Thursday nights, 2 nights ago, a new shipment of state-of-the-art Katusha rockets had been sent into eastern Libya from Egypt. He didn't say the rockets were sourced from Egypt, but that was their route through. He said these were state-of-the-art Katusha rockets, which were heat-seeking, and they needed to be trained how to use, and that was one of the things that he said the American and Egyptian special forces were there to do. So that leads to all sorts of intriguing and in some ways uncomfortable questions. First of all, it suggests that privately Egypt is now involved in this. It also raises a question about what exactly is the arms embargo in Libya supposed to be about, if it only apparently seems to depend on one side. What also of the question from the outside world is angst-ridden conversation as to whether or not the outside world wants actually to arm the rebels, when, assuming this is true, and we believe it is, in fact, they are already being armed. And so, you know, it's an intriguing development.
That is Al Jazeera reporting on the quote-unquote covert training going on. Obama supplying heavy weapons to Libyan insurgents. You should just translate that sentence as the black op intelligence networks are arming their patsies in the controlled terror opposition game, just as they have for decades. Meanwhile, over 100 at least killed in the Quran burning protests going on in Afghanistan. More on that from Reuters, as well the video report.
The bodies of 3 United Nations workers and 4 guards killed when protesters stormed a UN compound arrived in Kabul Sunday. The violence was set off by anger over the March 20th burning of the Quran by a Florida church.
We condemn the action of an individual in the United States who burned a holy Quran. That action was hateful, it was intolerant, and it was extremely disrespectful.
U.S. and NATO officials are trying to calm a third day of violent protests across Afghanistan.
This was an act of disrespect to the Muslim faith and to all peoples of faith. It does not represent the views of the peoples or governments of the alliance. We condemn it.
In Jalalabad, the largest city in the east, hundreds of people blocked the main highway for 3 hours. This protester says the burning of the Quran sends a message that Jews and Christians are enemies of the Quran and will never be our friends. The protests also appear to be fueled more broadly by the resentment that has been building for years in Afghanistan over the operations of Western military forces.
Now, as long as we're on a holy hexes angle here, and it is the war in heaven, and we will return to this Quran burning story briefly on our Holy Hexes updates in just a little while. But I wanted to make a reference to the covert training that we heard. And in that clip, you heard them talk about the rockets they were firing. Kedusha rockets. That's a Hebrew word that means to set apart, to make distinct. And I believe a similar word is also used in our symbolism for health. The snake and the medical industrial complex. Just taking a brief moment to connect our memes and dots. And as always, my friends, don't take my word for anything. Look it up yourself. Will Libya stalemate force U.S. out of its backseat role? I assume that's, you know, tongue in cheek from Christian Science Monitor. Obama and Rand Paul on Libya, Clinton on Syria. That is a fact check from our own Oregonian. And we do have the text, the entire text, of the latest letter from Gaddafi to our own Barry Satoru. That's Obama. And this piece is posted on globalresearch.ca. And we won't play any clips, but there are clips there for you. But they reference in a video, a webcast from Gaddafi to an American audience in April 2010, in which he praised President Barack Obama as a son of Africa. And in a letter, Wednesday, 2 days ago, Gaddafi called for an end to airstrikes on his forces and addressed the American leader as our son, apparently referring to Mr. Obama's African heritage. So as long as we're brushing up against the birther meme, we don't have anything posted on this, but I believe something about Donald Trump sending folks to Hawaii as the birther meme ratchets up, as we see all the cultural football issues ratcheting up again. As we glance back to the breaking news this morning, April 8th, blame game intense as government shutdown looms, Planned Parenthood fight. And no one's talking probably about Margaret Sanger and eugenics. Arab Spring. We're not sure what Madison Avenue marketing company came up with that slogan, but another great piece from Tony Cardellucci of the Land Destroyer blog gets into Arab Spring and the Israeli factor. AllGov.com notes that Americans are still dying in Iraq. There's been 14 so far this year, but don't worry about that. That war is over. That's the wrong war. We're getting into all the right wars now with all the right moves. Goldstone regrets saying Israel purposely killed Gazans. That's from the New York Times, where Goldstone has apparently retracted his landmark research paper. Meanwhile, Ivory Coast strongman says he's not stepping down. That's from Forbes. Portugal admits financial defeat and asks the European Union for an 80 billion euro bailout. More on that from independent.co.uk. Petraeus tipped to take over the Central Intelligence Agency. That is from The Telegraph. And in the clip we just heard about the Quran protests, I don't believe we hear Petraeus speak in that clip, but you see him standing right there next to the other war whore. So the head of our military operations, Odyssey Dawn, and all of the other occult-themed military theatrical events. And we have Panetta here now as the ostensible head of the CIA. So there's going to be some shuffling coming around very soon. And you have to always wonder, Gosh, you sure did seem to come out of nowhere to become the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. Maybe they went to the Special Ops University, such as the one that just opened at MacDill, AFB. As we've noted time and time again, pretty much as we were at the initial precipice of the 2008 controlled demolition of the phony fiat economy, the only jobs are going to be a snitch for the state. That's why there are CIA commercials while you're munching on your GMO popcorn at a corporate-run megaplex watching the latest military, media, industrial, entertainment complex pablum. And our final note on geopolitics and war horrors, pick up the gun. A Navy F-18 crashed yesterday in a California field. Two were killed in that crash near Lemoore, California. More on that from the Deutsche Press Agency and the Los Angeles Times. As we turn to something we've now already referenced, and as we've talked about geopolitics and war horrors and the war machine, that of course is the biggest polluter, the biggest killer, the biggest waste, and no one wants to cut that. None of our fake political parties want to talk about cutting the military. And if you do, you're looked at as a kook. Banksters warn U.S. to hit debt ceiling by May 16th. We have the piece from Reuters. However, we go into this on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. We also touched on this on my recent appearance on the IntelHub.com, so I'll spare you the text because, again, it's all there. Of course, always provided with the supplemental contextual links to flesh out the story. As we've said here many times, it's not necessarily that the corporate and mainstream media is all lies. But there are lies by omission, and we try and provide some of the context and subtext of why something like this might be important, and why a statement like this or that may require a little more investigation. So those links are provided to Reuters and more and Deutsche Press Agency and all around. But the three related updates to this main story about the government shutdown looming, and it was only this morning that now apparently it's become about Planned Parenthood. Not about eugenics, but Planned Parenthood. Government shutdown 2011, 16 things you need to know from endoftheamericandream.com. The question is it actually going to happen? But let's note some of these points that they have, if it happens. Hundreds of thousands of non-essential federal workers will be told to stay home. Those in the military will not receive paychecks during a government shutdown, but they will be required to keep performing their duties. The Obama administration is anticipating significantly lower staffing levels at the White House if a shutdown happens. Barry Satorio will continue to be paid. Congress will also be paid and will continue to operate at close to normal levels, which is, of course, a bad thing. Normal levels being unconstitutional, rubber-stamped, lobbyist, corporate-written legislation. The Federal Reserve will continue to, of course, operate normally during a government shutdown because the Federal Reserve is not federal, and there are no reserves. There are other points in here that, of course, are important, and as I say, I don't mean to be glib or take any of these desperately important situations lightly, but there are so many things yet to go over. More from Money and CNN on the shutdown. 800,000 federal workers could be in the dark, and Deutsche Press Agency and other reports on the bracing for the shutdown.
Will the shutdown happen?
I think it's quite possible at this point in time. With the divergence and separation between the two sides, it doesn't seem to be much chance for a compromise at this point.
Caroline, what do you think? Well, I think it's about a 50-50 chance. I would agree with Chris Van Hollen, who's the ranking Democrat on the House Budget Committee, who put the odds at that, really for two reasons. One, we've got 87 new freshman Republicans who identify with the Tea Party who want bigger cuts than Democrats are willing to make. And the second reason is that they've included defunding of Planned Parenthood as well as health care as part of the Republican proposal, and that will lead to an impasse. The question is whether or not they will take the political risk and actually shut down the government rather than doing another continuing resolution.
I think it's important, Caroline, that you brought up some of these points. You know, it seems to me as much as both Republicans and Democrats like to lay claim to certain social issues, the main thing they actually have power over is the budget. So I'm curious, I mean, let's talk about some of the effects that the way in which these battles play out. I mean, who wins and who loses, Dan, you know, if it shuts down?
Well, I think the importance of this from the onset is that the Democratic Party had abdicated their responsibility back in 2010 for one of the first times ever not passing a budget, and that's why we're at this in the first place. And when we're speaking about $61 billion cut out of over $1.5 trillion, where it's compares to a household telling a child to go without Fruit Loops for 2 weeks. I mean, it's not that much of a cut.
Caroline, what do you think? Dan said that this is the Democrats abdicating their responsibility. Is that the whole story?
Well, I would agree. I mean, they passed President Bush's tax cuts, an extension of it for 2 years, which meant that we were going to have to make domestic cuts in order to reduce the deficit if that was a goal, and everyone said it was the goal. And in addition to that, the most recent Pew poll finds that Americans would blame both Republicans and the White House for this, so it's politically very risky. But I would agree with Dan. The Democrats really put us in this mess by not standing up and passing a budget last year.
Well, what about, I mean, you know, a lot of Republicans are having a tough time right now because they, you know, just by judging history, when you go back to the government shutdown in the 90s under Newt Gingrich, the Republicans didn't exactly come out ahead in that situation. It wasn't exactly the political victory that they thought it would. So I think a lot of them are trying to make this not happen. But a lot of members of the Tea Party here, Tea Party, which, by the way, helped get a lot of people elected, are saying we won't stand for any less than what we want. So talk about this sort of tough thing that some of the Republicans are facing right now.
Def, I think on both sides of the aisle, nobody wants a shutdown at this point in time. It's not good politics. It's not good policy. But on top of that, though, we're talking on very, very minor cuts at this point in time. And if they can't do something this minuscule as far as cuts in the 2011 budget, it doesn't bode well for when we're going to be talking about the debt ceiling 2012 budget and dealing with entitlement reform, etc.
29 minutes ago from ABC News, government shutdown inevitable. Blame game increases as clock ticks. So yes, of course, this shutdown psychological operation is ratcheting up by the moment, my friends. And now the cultural football turns to abortion. They're not going to take away your eugenics. They just maybe want you to beg for it a little bit. You know, you plebes are taking too many things for granted. We're going to threaten to take some things away as this psychological operation of austerity unfolds. And as that clip noted, well, they didn't note it, but they referenced your kid may have to go without eating Fruit Loops for a few weeks. So this is the mindset of where we're coming from. Maybe too much Fruit Loops is part of your damn problem in the first place. Because your brain is full of loops. All you gotta do is take a look at the front of the box of Fruit Loops and note that it's spelled F-R-O-O-T. There's nothing even remotely approaching fruit in that cereal. But we'll have to save that for Food World Order, I suppose. But as long as we're talking about food that's bad for you, literal or metaphorical, let's go ahead and completely flesh out this meme as we start to move on to our other related Econo Crash updates. Is it time to kill the poor or eat the rich? Federal Reserve finally reveals which banks took emergency loans at the height of the elite engineered financial crisis. No wonder the Federal Reserve fought so hard to keep secret the names of banks that were bailed out during the height of the phony financial crisis of 2008. Many, many foreign banks, French, Belgian, Libyan, Arab, Germany, and more. More on that from allgov.com. And again, that clip noted with a week fake opposition, as so many of these things are, controlled oppositions, about the blame to go around for the two fake parties. Remember when this quote-unquote bailout was happening? We also had a presidential selection going on as well. Go back, dig into that news, and watch all of the either overt or covert events with Barry Satoro, Hillary, the Bush crime family, the Bilderbergs, and the banksters all working in collusion to, one, pass the bailout, and two, pass the buck, and three, pass the nuclear football to the friendly, smiling face of the New World Order. Feeling depressed? 27 statistics that'll make you feel even worse from the economiccollapseblog.com. And I'm not sure if this is on that list or not, but from allgov.com, 25 hedge fund managers make as much as 1,150,000 average Americans. Meanwhile, from finance, feds seek $7 million in privately made Liberty dollars. That's right, they're stealing $7 million Liberty dollars from Von Nothaus, recently convicted. His money is fake, but the Federal Reserve money is real, legal, tender. Wall Street trader Keith Mastronardi, father of three, falls to his death from his New York City apartment. More on that from the New York Daily News. And our final related econo crash note posted as updates to the bottom of our banksters warn U.S. to hit debt ceiling by May 16th. 50,000 McJobs to be handed out in 24 hours. That's from thefirstpost.co.uk, and I believe that is coming up on April 19th, which, of course, is always an important date as we brace yet again for our seemingly yearly unleashing of the mass murder contagion. So, yes, the Federal Reserve is not federal, and there are no reserves. And thanks to all the folks out there, again, on Twitter who help spread this message, as I'm looking at tweets coming in right now. Thank you at JLPSCEA, and I'm at Media Monarchy. Yes, we can, but please don't. Obamasiah launches 2012 psychological operation from the Bilderberg operated Washington Post, the favorite newspaper of the Central Intelligence Agency. Obama's decision to launch his 2012 re-election campaign this past Monday is about much more than money. It's an acknowledgement by the president's team that the grassroots army that helped propel Obama to the White House needs repair and rejuvenation. That core of volunteers defined the character and personality of Obama's first run for the White House. It was, in many ways, an organic movement, which sprang to life in 2007 and gathered momentum through the course of the campaign. Since then, it has atrophied. Obama advisors know his re-election will depend on many things, some of which are out of their control. What they also know is that a victory will rely in part on their ability to re-energize those volunteers, to stitch together the unusual coalition of African Americans, Latinos, young people, women, and college-educated whiteys, white voters, who backed Obama in 2008. That is within their control. Monday's headlines focused on Obama's billion-dollar campaign and the lengths to which campaign manager Jim Messina, among others, has begun the process of stroking big donors and setting big targets for fundraising. The desire to start raising money early should not be underestimated. Obama was extraordinarily successful raising money in small donations in 2008. His haul from the internet, hundreds of millions of dollars, underscored the bottom-up nature of his candidacy.
Well, it seems like the last couple of elections that we've had have been almost kind of turning point campaigns.
Kind of nervous about it. It's like it's coming. Here it is, 2012, the election.
I think it needs to reflect the changes that we've seen in the last 2.5 years. And then we had an underdog senator You know, nobody thought that he had a chance. And now he's the president.
I just saw the energy and hope that he had for this country. Even though I couldn't exactly vote at the time, I knew that someday I'd be able to help re-elect him. And that's what I plan on doing.
We're not leaving it up to chance. We're not leaving it up to, the incumbent, the type of thing. It's an election that we have to win.
And unfortunately, President Obama is one person. He cannot go. Plus, he got a job. You know, we're paying him to do a job, so we can't say, hey, could you just take some time off and come and get us all energized? So we better figure it out.
I can't not be involved. There's just too much that is fundamentally important right now that's going on.
As a community, we all have the same concerns. We all want our kids to go to school and learn. We want them to graduate. We want jobs to be out there. We want people to have homes. We want people to have opportunity.
I don't agree with Obama on everything, but I respect him and I trust him.
There are so many things that are still on the table that need to be addressed, and we want them to be addressed by President Obama.
I had this perception that politics was all show, it was all sound bites, but politics is how we govern ourselves. That's what politics is. It's not the grassroots level. It's individuals talking to other individuals and making a difference.
That little amazing piece of psychological operations is apparently the first salvo in the amazing Barack Obama 2012 PSYOP, which has now begun as of this past Monday. Now, in the piece we went over from the Washington Post, several of those statements that should have already jumped out at you when I read them the first time are supplemented with nice little bits that kind of go against, but also provide you the subtext to what they're actually talking about, where they note, it was in many ways an organic movement. Let's go yet again to opensecrets.org. And we first mentioned this to you, back in late 2007, early 2008, on this website, on this radio show. Top contributors to Barack Obama, opensecrets.org. Let's just hit some of the low points, as it were. Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, JP Morgan, IBM, General Electric, Morgan Stanley, Columbia University, and Skadden Arps. Every single one of those names should raise red flags with you. There is also supplemental links to the Washington Post and the Raw Story. But from Canada Free Press, on some of those things being out of their control, we jump back to June 2008. From CanadaFreePress.com, Bilderberg Boys will decide who's Obama's chosen Veep, just as they decided that he was the chosen one for the king seat. And for more on the bottom-up nature of his candidacy, let's take a moment from Webster Tarpley's Obama, the Postmodern Coup. Fascism as a grassroots mass movement run by bankers. Fascism was not what most readers think. In its origins, fascism takes the form of a mass movement. Fascism started as a political protest movement at the grassroots level, an anti-establishment, anti-authoritarian, and anti-parliamentary movement with radical cover and indeed with left cover. Just as a sidebar, fascism is the name for a fasci, which is the bundle of sticks with the axe head in the top of it that, of course, you can see in our own halls of Congress. But it's that bundle of sticks together. That's that mass movement. Continuing. It started in the streets, or better yet, in the gutter. It did not start out with bureaucrats issuing arrest warrants from government offices. It started with fervently idealistic young students and then brutal thugs carrying truncheons, clubs, and firearms on their way to do battle with their political enemies and quite often with the police. Fascism was an affair of hooligans, goons, gangsters, and fanatics. It was the specialty of ragtag stormtroopers. It was the political theater of Mussolini's March on Rome in 1922. The bulk of fascism's forces came from parts of the middle class who had been driven insane by economic crisis and by military defeat, and many were disgruntled war veterans. The rebellious despair of these social groups was the soil from which fascism grew. Of course, after fascism took power, it became more and more evident that this radical, grassroots, anti-establishment, anti-politician protest movement had not been spontaneous at all, but had been carefully and artificially orchestrated by the most prominent bankers and their political operatives. Fascism established itself by attacking, harassing, and crushing the main political institutions of society which opposed it, most especially the left-wing political parties, trade unions, independent newspapers, and independent organizations of all types. After it had seized power, fascism tended to eliminate its own radical and mass movement dimensions, sometimes with direct murderous violence, and then to solidify and consolidate itself into a top-down police state dictatorship. But it must not be forgotten that such a relatively stable police state dictatorship could have never been created without the ability of a fascist mass movement first to systematically destroy all forms of organized political resistance inside the society in a way that the police and the secret police simply could not do, in which army could never have been trusted to undertake. While many scholars focus their attention on the ossified end product of fascism as an accomplished police state dictatorship, for us today, it is imperative to understand it. The beginnings of fascism as a bottom-up mass movement fomented by bankers in order to mobilize society for economic sacrifice, for fanaticism, and for war. That's just one page from Webster Tarpley's Obama, the Postmodern Coup. Let's get our related Obamasiah updates posted below. Yes, we can, but please don't. Obama versus Dancing with the Stars notes that, of course, the big TV time press conference Obama gave about his latest war of aggression was carefully timed to not interfere with America's favorite current bread and circus, Dancing with the Stars. And as long as we're talking about fake corporate media establishments, the Washington Post and CBS receiving money from Obamacare slush fund, that's from dailycaller.com, and an interesting note from Daily Mail: mystery scars on Obama's head begs the question, has he had brain surgery? That one will probably have to remain in the speculative, just as there were many things about our previous puppet that remained speculative. An interesting one from RightSideNews.com. Get ready for Obama's second term. This is the righteous vitriol coming from the conservatives who believe all of this just fell apart starting January 20th, 2009. Everything we see is all Obama's fault. He's tearing this country apart. He's just continuing to move the ball down the field. That's why football is our national pastime, because we're Europe Junior, and it is a land acquisition game, as the late, great George Carlin noted. I'll throw out a little media meme sidebar for you. I did score an original 1972 Little David Records pressing of George Carlin's FM and AM a couple of days ago at Goodwill. But I digress. Cornel West, who I did recently see in a documentary about the born in West Virginia R&B rock superstar Bill Withers, but here he's talking to Russia Today and notes that as Obama becomes a puppet, America is in the midst of a radical democratic awakening.
Dr. Cornel West is among America's most provocative intellectuals, a Princeton professor and lifelong pioneer of working class rights and racial justice. At this year's Left Forum conference in New York City, Dr. West's appearance drew thousands of activists aiming to revitalize the American left.
I want to be in solidarity with Martin Luther King Jr.
Once a vocal supporter of U.S. President Barack Obama, Dr. West tells RT why his opinion has drastically changed.
Dr. West, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with RT.
Blessed to be here.
Dr. West, you are one of 1,200 speakers from around the world who have come here to New York to take part in the Left Forum. This year's theme is called Towards a Politics of Solidarity. Why do you think an event like this is so important?
For one, I just want to pay tribute to the visionary figures behind the Left Forum who play such an important role in sustaining it. We are now experiencing a radical democratic awakening in the American Empire, in the United States, deeply affected by what's going on in Northern Africa, deeply affected by what's going on in the Middle East, and more now shaped by what is happening in Madison, Wisconsin, and Columbus, Ohio, and other capitals. So that I think we've had so much sleepwalking in the United States, where, of course, of Wall Street oligarchs and corporate elites have been not just dominating, but in many ways looting billions and billions of dollars from the public funds. And based on their financial shadow financial system, making billions and billions of dollars as poor and working people are pushed to the margins. And I think more and more working class persons who thought they had a secure existence recognize that their plight is more and more tied to the plight of poor people and tied to the plight of working poor people. So we're experiencing now the early stages of a kind of shift in perception in the United States.
Dr. West, you have mentioned several times that Americans are working harder than ever before. They are earning less than ever before. And the economic disparities in this country are deepening and deepening.
Absolutely.
You call yourself a critical supporter of U.S. President Barack Obama. How would you assess his leadership, and particularly President Obama living up to the promises that he made when he became president?
Well, I think that he has now aligned himself with forces that promote the abandonment of poor people and the neglect of working people. So I would characterize Obama as a charismatic version of American exceptionalism, with a Keynesian neoliberalism at home and a liberal neoconservatism abroad, which is to say he's the friendly face of the American empire abroad. And internally, he's a centrist now leaning toward the right. And he's in the process, actually, of becoming, very sadly, a pawn of big finance and a puppet of big business. And that's a very sad assessment, because he began with such magnificent democratic rhetoric during the campaign.
His rhetoric, absolutely.
You see, but when he brought in Geithner and Summers and Holbrooke and others on the foreign policy, it was clear he was recycling Clintonites. It was a neoliberal reconstitution, and it was the very moment in which we could have undermined the neoliberal consensus, both domestically and internationally. He decided to reaffirm it and reconstitute it.
With all due respect, Dr. West, Americans did know where his campaign contributions were coming from.
That's true.
It was clear and transparent and known that Goldman Sachs and other Wall Street banks were making very large political donations to Barack Obama.
But ordinary people gave him a lot of money too.
Yes.
So you had small donations. We thought that it was some balancing, because yes, he got big money from Goldman Sachs, he got big money from Wall Street oligarchs, but then he got all of this financial and spiritual and moral support from everyday people and the trade union movement. So you would think there would be some counterbalancing, and that's what we have yet to see in the 2.5 years. And of course, right now, it's just that he's preoccupied with re-election.
Hmm. Now, shouldn't it be interesting to note all of the things that were referenced in that clip that, in one way or another, we already elucidated for you by reading that clip about the origins and real meanings of fascism? So hopefully there will be more stronger speaking out, because that's how you can take down a phony progressive, is destroy his left cover. So we'll go from that little bit of left limited hangout to some more limited hangout. As former CIA analyst Michael Scheuer notes to a CNN anchor, you're just carrying the water for Mr. Obama.
You know, you led the CIA's unit that tracked Osama bin Laden 1996 to 1999, and you believe that much like that situation, America's involvement in Libya could prove to be a recruiting tool for extremists. Why?
Oh, it's absolutely a recruiting tool. It's the American-led West attacking a Muslim country that has
oil.
They've
been very careful to say it's not the American-led West, that NATO has now fully taken over the operations.
Firepower
was used in the beginning, but that this is a coalition that includes Arab states.
That may fool some Americans. It's not going to fool the people who sympathize with bin Laden and other Islamists. This is really a U.S.-led operation. And you talk about the Arab states that are involved. The Arab states are tyrannies that are hated by their own people. This is a piece of theater set up by Mrs. Clinton and Mr. McCain and the bipartisan group that loves to intervene abroad. In the Muslim world, this is Americans killing Muslims again, and it looks like it's for oil.
I just want to ask, are you trying to have it both ways and saying that, okay, these are tyrannies that hate their own people? Well, that's why we're helping, because in Libya, it was the people that wanted Gaddafi out, that they were tired of it. So weren't we then supporting Islamic democracy, I guess you could say, in these countries where they're tired of totalitarian rule?
If we were supporting Islamic democracy, that would be one thing. But if you listen to Mrs. Clinton, and especially the rather crazed Ms. Rice at the UN, this is all about democracy in a world where democracy is not going to take hold.
I think it's very clear, Michael Scheuer, that you are no fan of this policy and this administration. I think calling Ambassador Rice crazed is certainly a significant charge.
Well, I don't know. I've just listened to her. You know, that's only my impression. And I have to say, this is not a Democratic problem. This is a Republican problem, too. Both parties love to intervene in other people's business where there are no U.S. interests at stake and where we spend enormous amounts of money at a time when we're nearly bankrupt. That doesn't seem to me to be a wise practice of American statesmanship.
And that's a whole other story. To call the United States bankrupt, the United States is running humongous deficits, yes, but the economy and this mission in Libya are two separate issues.
They're not separate issues, ma'am. You're just carrying the water for Mr. Obama.
I'm certainly not carrying anyone's water, and I will assure you of that. Michael Scheuer, thank you so much for your time. We've had a very long, exhaustive interview. You had plenty of time to give your point of view on that. We're going to be right back. It's 38 minutes past.
Thanks, Michael.
You've got to watch out carrying any water because, of course, it's all radioactive. Glenn Beck to end his daily show on Fox TV. We can get that from the Washington Post and from Kurt Nemo and from Blacklisted News, who most importantly notes that somebody like Glenn Beck reestablishing the false left-right paradigm one lie at a time. Now, someone whom Glenn Beck took some limited hangout shots against has two events coming very soon aimed at remaking the financial order and the media. Two George Soros events. That article is from Fox News. And we give you a few more breakdowns to get into these two different events. AmericanFreePress.net noting Soros convenes Bretton Woods 2. As the Wall Street Journal notes, unreported Soros event aims to remake entire global economy. And then the second, the National Conference for Media Reform. TheNation.com is all about it, and of course, that's because their head is from the Council on Foreign Relations. But CanadaFreePress.com gets into the National Conference for Media Reform and the Soros media power grab. It's all bubbling to the surface. NPR, Planned Parenthood, abortion, flag burning, Bible burning. My friends, we're well into hour number two here on episode 213 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's April 8th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It looks rather doubtful that we're going to be able to go over all of our earth-shattering news, but we're going to do our best. As we get to the 4-7 news purge, wait, A War in Heaven, which, of course, we took from our opening track. We begin our news purge. Always put alphabetically with all our related headlines in all the other areas that we cover and study on Media Monarchy, such as West Virginia Worry, Oregon Oddities, Police State International, Murder and Mayhem, History Mystery. But first, the latest 9/11 updates with a news flash from CourierMail.com out of Australia. Remote control programs pose terror risks to planes. Apparently, it's possible to fly a plane using remote control. Meanwhile, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, the key best mastermind of 9/11. Of course, he confessed to masterminding other events he couldn't possibly have done because they didn't exist. He will face military tribunal. Change you can believe in. That's from 9/11 blogger. So is this. FBI confirms 3,429 potential pages due to a FOIA request. Telegraph reporting George W. Bush invited one of the sons of Emmanuel Goldstein to the White House. Of course, they just need to, you know, share some business notes. Amidst growing world doubts about 9/11, career Army officer takes Bush administration officials to court. That is from 911truth.org. Another interesting note and an interesting way to wage the information war. Small classified ads about 9/11 truth to reach America. And he's making the rounds yet again. He has another new book following closely on the heels of American Conspiracies. 63, I believe, government documents, or 63 documents the government doesn't want you to see. Jesse Ventura talks 9/11, Building 7, and more on Good Morning America.
Jesse Ventura never shies away from a fight, not as a Navy SEAL, bodyguard for the Rolling Stones, pro wrestler, or as governor of Minnesota. And he's picking plenty more with his new book, 63 Documents the Government Does Not Want You to Read. Welcome back, Jesse Ventura. And I do promise, you do not have to follow Chris Rock. Never on the show.
Thank you, George. He is a tough act to have to follow. What a funny guy.
He is a very funny guy. But let's get right sure. here, because we talked about this a little bit last time on the show as well. This whole idea that you have some documents which you say at least reinforce the idea that the government had advanced knowledge that 9/11 could happen.
Absolutely.
And didn't work to stop it. Now, I find a hard time believing you actually believe that.
Why? I'm a Vietnam veteran, and they lied to me about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and that was the false flag operation that put us into the Vietnam War, where 58,000 of my generation were killed. And now, I was teaching at Harvard when McNamara came through and admitted it never happened. False flag operations, if you go through history, happen all the time before these wars.
But that's very different from saying that the government knew 9/11 was coming, knew the planes were coming, and didn't try to stop it.
Well, take a look at my book. It's no more shocking than our government going down to Nicaragua and infecting hundreds of people with syphilis to see if penicillin worked. George, let me state this. There are great people that work in government. There are dedicated, patriotic people in government. But when you read this book, the scary part of this book for me, you could substitute the word Nazi, and it would work.
But the documents you use on 9/11 show, well, there's one document that suggests that Tower 7 fell down faster than it could have fallen down just by
natural. It doesn't suggest it. It says it. It said it fell at, NIST report said it fell at free fall.
So then you make
wait a minute. That means you got to defy the laws of physics. That means everything was removed. In which for anything to fall,
but then you make
speed.
That leap then to the idea that it was demolished by explosives inside by the government.
I don't make a leap. Why didn't they check for explosives? They never did. If not to eliminate them, they didn't do that. This book is all documents that are out in the public domain. I'm not WikiLeaks. I didn't steal anything. You just got to find them. And there are documents here so disturbing, like the CIA's assassination manual. Excuse me, assassination is just a nice word for first-degree murder, and we have a manual that tells how to do it and everything about it. As far as I know, George, first-degree murder is illegal in every country in the world.
But aren't there some cases where it would be justified? A tyrant who's killing hundreds of thousands of people?
Who makes the call? I'll say this, too, about if we go back to Bin Laden, why haven't we indicted him? That gives us reason to go get him. We haven't indicted him. The government has never come forward, convened a grand jury, presented one shred of evidence that he did it officially, and get an indictment.
So you don't believe he was behind it either?
I don't know. But my government's lied to me so often, they've lost their credibility with me, George.
And you do have the documents you say support some of these theories
well,
in the book.
And the good thing about this book, it's not me telling you about the documents. I give you my opinion, but then we reprint every document so the reader can read for themselves.
I want to switch gears right now. You've had such a varied career. You're even once on a soap opera, Young and the Restless.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
What's that?
Why the hell did you decide not to run for president? I mean, imagine, the coming elections are boring the way they are. It would have been far more interesting with you in it.
Well, there's always 2004.
How about 2012? No way.
I will tell you this. If Ron Paul runs as an independent, I would give great consideration to being his running mate. As you see, I dedicated this book to Congressman
Not if he runs as a not if he runs as a Republican.
Never.
No.
I will not be a Democrat or Republican. They are the problem, not the solution. We need to abolish political parties in this country.
You got a couple of Republicans coming from your state, Michelle Bachmann and Tim Pawlenty.
Well, Michelle Bachmann is actually my congresswoman. I live in her district.
And could she be president?
Not with my vote, she won't be.
Okay, Jesse Ventura, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you, George. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
There are so many things in there that we could dive into, but we're going to have to keep moving. New York Times reporting on the 9/11 family's objection to putting remains in a museum, and the clip from the Associated Press, 9/11 kin decry plans to house remains at the museum.
A decade after the September 11th attacks, family members of those who died are outraged over a plan that will place 9,000 pieces of unidentified remains underground.
This is just an obscene thing that you would put human remains in a museum and you would put them on the bottom behind some concrete wall.
Plans for the 9/11 memorial and museum call for the unclaimed and unidentified remains to be located 7 stories underground behind a wall. The families say they were never consulted.
Family members need genuine and real consultation, and until that happens, those precious souls will not be able, cannot rest in peace.
But a liaison for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who lost her husband on 9/11, says there was a lot of outreach done. She adds that the remains will be put in a memorial section where only family members can visit. But that doesn't satisfy these family members, who would prefer a burial ground similar to Arlington National Cemetery.
I could not save my son on 9/11. This is the last battle that I will be able to wage in honor of my son.
A lawyer for the family says legal action hasn't been ruled out. Matt Friedman, The Associated Press.
Our final 9/11 update note. The amazing Kronos Quartet gave their West Coast premiere of the new Steve Reich WTC 9/11 musical piece. More on that from the Los Angeles Times. As we move to our history mystery headlines from publicintegrity.org, memo suggests FBI had mole inside ABC News in the 90s. The update to this story comes from the New York Times, where the now CBS executive denies he was an FBI informant during his tenure at ABC, and this connects to the Oklahoma City bombing. Meanwhile, UK spy files show Nazis sought to use saboteurs, spies, and poisoned sausages to win the war. That's from Canadian Press. MI5 bugged leading intellectuals and journalists in the 1950s. Files show, that's from The Guardian. Dark past in Balkan War intrudes on new life. That's from The New York Times, noting a woman picked up in a suburban area as being someone who ran a prison camp. Meanwhile, two former officers sentenced in a killing after Katrina. That's right, they murdered him and then burned his body. Because that's what happens when everything breaks down. Katrina being the amazing dry run for a shattered union. And our last history mystery note, Duke law students give musical nod to Nixon with Tricky Dick. On to murder and mayhem from Bloomberg. Southwest cancels hundreds of flights as planes checked for cracks. We see so many of these stories always returning to the issue of airport insecurity, and we see so many things going on, and I see speculation about more headaches, more ill effects, more queasy feelings. What are these coming from? Is it coming from the water? Is it coming from the radiation? Is it just our food? Is it geoengineering? Is it the barium and aluminum being sprayed in the skies falling all over us? Is it any number of those things? Or is it what happens when you think that you're going to get sick, so you get sick? An interesting tie-in to this from NationalTerrorAlert.com. An American Airlines flight diverts to Dayton after four passengers pass out. And these are the memes that we track. And I immediately thought of This Is Nowhere by the Airborne Toxic Event.
Stare at the rain in our boots. The cars, the cloud, the sky. While it's snow erupts him, himself in the seat again. He'll clench his fists and close his eyes. I don't know how many times I can loan him my cigarettes when I don't even know if he's alive. Do prophets lie? It makes me feel less horrified. Accoutrements, these shoes, these scars, these fits, these ties, and these things I say to make myself feel good again. I speak, I write, I laugh, I lie. I can't bear to sit here and drink myself sick again. Another night when everything I know was just a lie. And I don't even know where I'll sleep tonight.
Toxic Event. It's a band. It's a meme. This Is Nowhere from their self-titled debut record from 2008, The Airborne Toxic Event. Furthermore, in our murder and mayhem headlines, Arizona police arrest employee accused of tampering with water treatment facility. That's from NationalTerrorAlert.com. And click to Houston. Reporting on the Bronx Zoo cobra found finally in its reptile house. This was an ongoing story that even got poked fun of on Saturday Night Live, and one of the funny, interesting angles to this, and we're just adding it, of course, for our meme tracking, as animals seem to play an integral part in our human game. Somebody started a Twitter account, ostensibly, of this missing cobra and what he was doing while he was out running around. Will, if we have time, make another reference to amazing satirical uses of Twitter accounts being set up in the name of someone who can't, won't, or otherwise doesn't have their own Twitter account. Meanwhile, a naked man opens fire on a SWAT robot in Florida.
A Brevard County man was naked when he opened fire on a SWAT team robot, and it was all caught on video. Deputies say they didn't want to risk any lives, so they sent the robot into the man's home.
Channel 9's Mark Boyles live in Brevard County now with the bizarre video. Mark?
Bob, investigators said they've never dealt with a naked man attacking a robot before. On this DVD is a copy of the whole thing. Investigators originally went to the West Melbourne home because the man had called his family and said he was going to take his own life and anyone else's life who tried to stop him. This video rolled as a naked man fired shots that put this camera into black. Those shots could have been aimed at a deputy, but instead a robot took the hit. This is how it began. Watch as the Brevard County Sheriff's Office robot rolls into this home off of Del Mar Circle. The video is shaky because the camera is hooked on top. The robot spent about a minute roaming the living room area looking for the suspect. Seconds later, a man, stark naked, walked out of his room, bent over, and tried to break the $65,000 robot and one of the four cameras attached. The robot, controlled by the SWAT team located at a command post several houses away, directed the robot away from the naked man, but it didn't get far. The homeowner walked back out, racked his high-powered AK-47 two times, and then opened fire. Deputies say he shot the SWAT robot at least four times, significantly damaging it. In this still picture, you can see one of the bullet holes. In spite of these violent actions, the standoff ended peacefully. 2 minutes after the man pulled the trigger, he got dressed, walked outside with his hands up, and was taken into custody.
The shooting happened at 5 a.m. last week. The folks who lived next door to the suicidal man were evacuated at the time. No one was injured. For now, reporting live at the Brevard County Sheriff's Office, I'm Mark Boyle, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
Just keep filing away the stories. Keep filing away the Twilight language for later connections. Serial killer suspected loose in New York. More bodies found. We cover that from Wikinews and the Deutsche Press Agency. New human remains discovered along New York Beach. Meanwhile, 59 bodies found in pits in Mexican border state. That is from Fox News. And again, from NationalTerrorAlert.com. Two Americans shot to death at a Mexico border crossing.
Introducing Sergio Suave Salcido.
This is video of a mixed martial arts fight in Long Beach from 2009 involving Sergio Salcido Luna. The 25-year-old American citizen was a professional fighter who began his career in Bakersfield. He also worked for a San Diego company called West Coast Beverage Maintenance, which is located on Morena Boulevard. Salcido and fellow worker 28-year-old Kevin Joel Romero were carpooling into work in a company truck from their homes in TJ when they were shot and killed while waiting to cross the border. The owner of West Coast Beverage didn't want to talk on camera, but he told NBC San Diego that both men were very close friends. He says Salcido and Romero worked for West Coast for a little more than a year, and they were hard workers who, quote, were very respectful and would walk into a room and give you a handshake and a hug. The owner says Romero was married and had adopted his wife's 5-year-old son. He also says the men lived clean lives. Romero didn't drink, and they both trained together as Salcido prepared for upcoming fights.
We now move to our Oregon oddities as the search for a missing British Columbia couple extends into remote eastern Oregon areas. That's from TheRepublic.com. Meanwhile, from KVAL.com, a 20-year veteran of Sheriff's Office resigns after sex investigation. Marion County Sheriff's Deputy charged with official misconduct. And we've been getting some of our more brutal police brutality stories from InjusticeEverywhere.com. And our final note on Oregon oddities, new law requires carbon monoxide detectors. That's from EastOregonian.com. No word yet on any laws requiring radiation detectors. We now move to our police state international coverage. New York City dirty bomb drill, the largest in national history. Our own SalemNews.com asking the question, is it really a drill? And meanwhile, rogue government and the Intel Hub get into first responders and the NYPD conduct dirty bomb drill in New York. And this drill, with over 400 checkpoints, is not expected to disrupt traffic.
It's only a drill. Law enforcement agencies have converged on Manhattan.
It's for a wide-scale operation simulating a radioactive dirty bomb attack. CBS News' Jay Dow has the story.
An intricate road checkpoint with several NYPD vans in the Washington Heights section of Manhattan. There is no known threat, but this drill, which began with a massive deployment this morning at the UN, includes the NYPD and 70 other law enforcement agencies from across our region. It will run through Saturday. Practice for the real thing, a dirty bomb, or an explosive device that uses radioactive materials to contaminate the area around the blast site. The officers are working on a specific scenario that involves trying to stop four fictional terror cells, which are using radiological materials in an effort to carry out an attack on New York City. New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says this week New Yorkers can expect to see a heightened presence near bridges, transit hubs, and on the waters around New York City.
We'll be manning up to 400 checkpoints throughout the metropolitan area to test our ability to intercept radiological material. There actually will be samples of radiological material.
The drivers we met at the checkpoint were, of course, delayed, but on board with the program.
We need to be protected, and whatever may be necessary.
You don't have a problem with the holdup?
No, why not? As long as I'm protected, I'm good.
With this day, say that what's happening in the world is needed. I mean, we're at war on all fronts, so it's best to start here. Sooner or later, it's going to get here.
These exercises are taking place to prevent that from happening. In the Washington Heights section of Manhattan, Jay Dow, CBS 2 News.
The drill is scheduled to run until 3 o'clock this afternoon and is not expected to disrupt traffic.
No word yet on possible disruptions to your civil liberties. So, whatever means necessary, as long as it keeps me safe, I'm good.
I'm going to get to this Afghanistan thing. General Petraeus today condemned the actions of this Florida preacher who burned the Koran. You heard what Senator Reid said. Is there anything that actually can be done along those lines?
You know, I wish we could find some way to hold people accountable. Free speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. During World War II, you had limits on what you could say if it would inspire the enemy. So burning a Quran is a terrible thing, but it doesn't justify killing someone. Burning a Bible would be a terrible thing, but it wouldn't justify murder. But having said that, anytime we can push back here in America against actions like this that put our troops at risk, we ought to do it. So I look forward to working with Senator Kerry and Reid and others to condemn this, condemn violence all over the world based in the name of religion. But General Petraeus understands better than anybody else in America what happens when something like this is done in our country. And he was right to condemn it, and I think Congress would be right to reinforce what General Petraeus said.
We saw the report from Liz Palmer of turmoil all across the Middle East this morning. Is it time to arm the rebels in Libya and go directly after Gaddafi?
Well, I think it's time to go directly after Gaddafi.
And that was Lindsey Graham, and we could have played that clip at probably any other portion of our show. Free speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. Furthermore, on our Police State International updates, Interpol chief calls for global electronic identity card system. That is from netsecurity.org. LouRockwell.com asking, do you want a passport? You better find your circumcision records. And I even saw a letter written to our own Oregonian noting how difficult it is now at the DMV, at the passport office, to show your papers. Meanwhile, Aiden Elliott, 8 years old, pepper sprayed in his Colorado classroom by the cops.
Aiden Elliott seems like your typical video game loving 8-year old.
Finally got one.
But what happened recently at this elementary school was hardly typical.
I kind of blow it up a little.
More than a little. Aiden, in a class for kids with behavior problems, became enraged, spitting, throwing chairs, even threatening teachers and students with a sharp piece of wood he held like a knife.
I said, I'm going to kill you once you get out of that room.
How come you said that?
Well, I was really angry.
Soon, police arrived. Aiden told them,
I will kill you, mother effers. He had told the teachers the same thing. If they came out, they were going to die.
The officers decided their best option was to pepper spray the second grader.
It was a situation that had to be diffused, and it had to be done very quickly. No one went home injured that day.
Aiden's mother, Mandy, thinks police went too far.
I do think it was excessive force, and we are filing a complaint. He's never hurt anybody in the past.
If Aiden can tame his outbursts, the school says he's welcome back.
That would be our hope and goal, and I hope that he is getting the services he needs so he is able to return.
I don't know how my future is going to be. Rich, happy, good life road, or bad, homeless, poor road.
Aiden hopes for the good one, but knows the road he's on now is rocky. For Good Morning America, Clayton Sandell, ABC News, Lakewood, Colorado.
That clip is disturbing on a number of levels, but the lighthearted note is that it seems like half the people in my generation named their kids Aiden. But anyway, meanwhile, from the Oregonian. Again, a Washington State canine named Kane was stabbed to death in the line of duty. Meanwhile, an Ohio man was charged after barking at a police dog. And perhaps most frighteningly, the FBI says Muslims may be creating nuclear families.
It's the Onion Radio News. The FBI says Muslim groups in the U.S. may be developing nuclear families. This is Doyle Redland reporting. An FBI report strongly indicates there is, quote, reliable and substantive evidence that Muslims residing in the U.S. are involved in a widespread plot to develop nuclear families. FBI Director Robert Mueller delivered this dire warning.
Communities as diverse and far-flung as Newark, New Jersey, and Tulsa, Oklahoma are being converted into breeder reactors in which Muslim nuclear families can be easily and cheaply produced.
Only last June, the search of a Muslim home in Royal Oak, Michigan, unearthed substantial evidence of nuclear family building activity, including the discarded remnants of a used home pregnancy test. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
As we move to our final section on this 4-7 News Purge, wait, a war in heaven, an article from Big Hollywood on the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia, a good film about bad people. That headline begins our West Virginia Worry coverage, and it made me kind of mad because this article is aiming to do with Netflix what we are building and getting ready to unleash, but I need to get in gear. But of course, yes, my friends, so many plates spinning. But coming very soon from Media Monarchy and TragedyandHope.com, that is NavigatingNetflix.com. Task Force targets U.S. Route 19, calling it the drug route. That's from DailyMail.com, and I learned that from a friend in my hometown of Fayetteville, West Virginia. Of course, massive, massive gang activity, except they wear uniforms. Meanwhile, an Elkins, West Virginia police officer was jailed. Dunbar, West Virginia approved settlement for woman victimized by police officer. And our last two notes of West Virginia Worry this past week, we had the one-year anniversary of the Massey coal mine explosion at the Upper Big Branch Mine in Raleigh County, West Virginia, the county I was born in. Remembering the 29 from DailyMail.com, and we provide the flashback to you, the 25-plus killed in Massey coal mine explosion. We'll also remind you of our interview with Reverend Billy and our episode done during the week of that crisis that featured an interview with Reverend Billy and even my dad, and it's one of my most downloaded episodes in the archive.org archive. We quickly now move to the 4-7 pop culture list of headlines from my newest site, holyhexes.com. Burn, build, blast banner. And again, another note, as protests continue in Afghanistan against Quran burning, Flash Traffic blog notes dangerous momentum building for unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state in September, but the Bible warns nations not to divide the land of Israel. Perhaps one of my favorite headlines of the last week from BeliefNet, top UK druid charged with money fraud. USA Today gets into how a jester god revealed the oldest Mayan royal tomb. A New York City grandma gets 3 years in voodoo ritual case. That's from the Wall Street Journal. Scientology, the truth about a lie, opens at the DC Film Fest. Deutsche Press Agency reporting on the accidental blast that rocked a California Jewish center. And from Russia Today, a priest may be defrocked for using the word terrorist.
Now, a priest in Finland faces being defrocked after describing one of the world's most wanted criminals as a terrorist. Well, he was referring to Doku Umarov, the man behind the Moscow metro and airport bombings, among other crimes. RT's Yekaterina Grashova met the churchman, whose words are leaving him now accused of inciting religious hatred.
These may be the last days this man wears his pastor's collar. Juha Mollery faces being defrocked for speaking out against...
I use word terrorist. They use word president.
Doku Umarov and his internet mouthpiece, the Kavkaz Center. The site was the first to publish the terrorist words on the attacks, he claims. The Beslan School siege, the Nevsky Express, Moscow metro bombings, and most recently, the Domodedovo airport attack. The website is banned in Russia, but in Finland, it enjoys quite a comfortable standing, and not only on the internet, but also in downtown Helsinki. The priest was the first to openly say this was an outrage, and the reaction was quick to follow.
I get this kind email. It's 100% sure it came from Dagestan, this IP address.
What does the letter say?
This letter tells that if I don't stop to fight against the Kafka Center, they will cut my head away and from my family also.
Juho Mollery went to police, but instead ended up being prosecuted himself, being sued for criticizing what Finland calls a legally operating organization.
The same people who are promoting the terrorism against Russia, they are promoting public opinion against Mollery, claiming that Mollery is a racist who is delivering racist statements about Caucasus people or the Chechens, which is of course not the truth, because Mollery is only representing the internationally acknowledged opinion about Doku Umarov as an international terrorist.
In Russia, a manhunt is on for Umarov and people close to him. But in Helsinki, you may end up dining next to his relatives.
Our last couple of headlines on this 4-7 Papa Culture listing of burn, build, blast banner on holyhexes.com. Teenagers speak up for lack of faith as atheists organize at a high school in Panama City. That's from the New York Times. And from Raw Story, another atheist girl sues to get a school prayer banner removed. As we quickly move to our other Holy Hexes updates from The Guardian, we have two postings on updates related to the recently found metal books, the codices, if you will. The Guardian has codices lead to allegations of Jesus as an openly gay man. We also have the Daily Mail asking if one of the pages in those metal books is the first ever portrait of Jesus. That comes from the Daily Mail. The BBC reporting on India's spiritual leader Sai Baba critical in the hospital. More on that from the BBC and from the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Millions expected for the May Day papal beatification in Rome.
One of the most influential and beloved popes of recent history, Pope John Paul II, will be elevated to Blessed John Paul II by Pope Benedict on May 1st, 2011. If you would like to join the faithful in honoring Blessed John Paul II, RosaryParts.com is offering these beautiful rosary kits, including the papal crucifix and matching centerpiece in sterling silver, pewter, and metal, so you can participate in the celebration of Blessed John Paul II by making a rosary in his honor with your own hands.
All right, I thought that was funny, but now it's running way too long. Millions expected for, of course, the May Day papal beatification in Rome. Many holy hexes and psychological operations coming up. That May Day beatification ceremony. And, of course, the Antichrist is going to marry his cousin in just a few short weeks. And as we're slowly running out of time here, we're not going to be able to go over all the related Food World Order and cyberspace war bits of coverage. But as a way to try and bring it full circle with our last bit of updates, after this, Nina Simone, if you pray right, heaven belongs to you.
If you love right, heaven belongs to you. If you love right, heaven belongs to you. Right, heaven belongs to you. If you sing right, heaven belongs to you. If you sing right, heaven belongs to you. Oh,
Nina Simone, If You Pray Right, Heaven Belongs to You. We began our show with the Ravenettes, A War in Heaven, and we're ending with Heaven Belongs to You, bringing it full circle as the divide and conquer culture wars heat up. We glance back at the breaking news. Negotiations and finger-pointing continue as government shutdown nears. The Guardian has even set up a live blog. Yes, the government shutdown psychological operation is in full bloom. Quickly, let's grab some other related media meme updates. Just a couple of days ago, 17-year anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain, and we supply a flashback for you to our 15th anniversary posting in 2009 on Media Monarchy. Meanwhile, Kabbalah Center may be responsible for the collapse of Madonna's Malawi charity. That's from Rolling Stone. More Madonna Kabbalah drama, and Madonna says she's not being investigated by the FBI. More on that from USA Today. Meanwhile, Gwyneth Paltrow's ancestor was a Kabbalah master. And our final note here, in the media memes, from the BBC, From Here to Eternity, Uncensored 60 Years Later. You may remember last week our Japanese crisis updates were named From Here to Eternity, and then we see the story spring back into the news. I want to remind you, one, to please support Media Monarchy, hit the donate button, or just spread the word, share links, comment, download, anything to help spread this information, because I think if you maybe take a look around, you may realize it's of utmost importance. I also implore you to check out our very active and amazingly fun Twitter.com/Media Monarchy, where you can see things like No Blood for Oil is the chant not heard from the left, and amazing satire from someone who set up an account as the TEPCO CEO, where they note in meeting the GE CEO, I'll tell him how the reactors really did if he tells me how to avoid paying taxes on billions of profits. And our most recent tweet, unusual event declared at the Hanford nuclear plant. That is my neighbor to the north in Washington. So my friends, please stay alert. Please stay aware. And as was just noted in the chat room over on ZeroPointRadio.com, one of our amazing affiliates that carries this show live, if you walk around with a hammer, you'll start seeing nails everywhere. It's April 8th, 2011. This has been episode 213 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show, reminding you, one, don't hate the media, become the media, and two, now more than ever, my friends, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.